800-500-5266 right now. That's 877-500-5266.
Gay Boo Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco on Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Journalist Chris Hedges and award-winning cartoonist Joe Sacco wrote the best-selling book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, together. Their talk includes a discussion about sacrifice zones, areas in America that have been offered up for exploitation in the name of profit, progress, and technological advancement. Again, that's Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco, Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I shall impersonate a man. Come, enter into my imagination and see him. Bony, hollow-faced, eyes that burn with the fire of inner vision. He conceives the strangest project ever imagined, to become a knight-errant and sally forth into the world righting all wrongs. His name, Don Quixote de la Mancha. Hear me now, the bleak and unbearable world, thou art base and debauched as can be. And the knight, with his banners all bravely unfurled, now hurls down his gauntlet toward thee. I am I, Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha.
I'm Dimay Roberts, and that, what we're listening to, is Man of La Mancha that Portland Opera is producing. It's Stage and Studio, a special one-hour membership drive edition of Stage and Studio. And I love this musical. It was the first one I was ever in college, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful play, musical play. Portland Opera is producing this musical about Miguel de Cervantes. Cervantes, the author of Don Quixote. The story focuses on Cervantes right after he goes before the Spanish Inquisition. In this play, he's thrown into a prison, and in order to survive, he starts telling the story of Don Quixote, and all the prisoners help dramatize the story. It's going to be at the Keller Auditorium June 9th through the 17th, and we have two pairs of tickets to offer to a lucky person who calls 1-877-500-5266 or KBOO right now. So, this is just beautiful music. I love it. We're also featuring interviews from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, as well as pairs of tickets. But first off, we're going to visit with Silas Ware Mitchell. He starred in 5 seasons of Grimm. Yes, that TV show that was filmed here in Portland. He's about to open a 2-person play called Constellations at Portland Center Stage at the Armory. I talked with him when he was in rehearsals about the play Constellations, which runs May 19th through the 11th, June 11th, and about his personal connections to Portland.
I felt at home in March of 2011 when I got off the airplane to drive to the Nines before we started shooting the pilot. I said, wow, I like it here. I mean, in the van on the way to the hotel, I said, wow, this is gorgeous. Because I've spent a lot of my life in New England, and this is basically New England West, just sort of wetter winters as opposed to colder winters. And so I feel very at home here, and I sort of have from the drop. Yeah, as far as doing a show at Portland Center Stage, that is a factor of my feeling at home in Portland, but also feeling at home at Portland Center Stage. I feel very at home here. This is a really, really nice group of people who are also just in it for the right reasons. Same as Grimm. Nobody's here for, no one's a prima donna. People are committed to the work. They work really hard and have fun doing it. There's not a lot of ego. People are here to do the job, and it's just a great place to work. So it's something I would not pass up. I also love doing theater. It's a good way to stay grounded.
And so you're sort of going into a 2-person play now. What drew you to Constellations?
Chris called me, I think, over a year ago with this idea, and it was, the timing of it is perfect. You know, Grimm is over, but it was sort of like, okay, but I know I'll have some job to do. You know, and it's in Portland, so it felt sort of like a nice come down from Grimm. You know, I'm still working in Portland. And it's a really, really cool play. It's just a really cool play. I read the play and was immediately taken with it. It's a fascinating little jewel box of a play. It's a little puzzle with a big heart also, you know. It's a really cool combination of head and heart.
Science and love.
Science and love, exactly. Yeah. Body and soul.
Well, it seems like going into something like this is also, you know, an acting challenge. You know, two-person play, it runs probably, 70 minutes or so?
I would imagine somewhere, certainly under 90. It's no intermission. That's a great form of theater, I think. The under 90 minutes, no intermission, just, you know, punch them in the heart and send them on their way.
So tell me a little bit about your character that you're playing.
I play a beekeeper who grew up in Wiltshire, England.
So you're doing a British accent?
I am. I meet this woman who is a theoretical physicist, and we hit it off, or we don't. We get together, or we don't. We cheat on each other, or we don't. We get married, maybe we don't. There's all sorts of possibilities. The underlying metaphor of the piece is theoretical physics and the multiverse, where the possibility exists that there are many, many universes, not just the one that we know. And so, given that, the idea is that in the quantum realm, anything is possible in the sense that predictability goes out the window as far as the quantum realm. Physicists have been doing experiments to try to create the same result, which you can do in the gravitational world, which is relativity. In relativity, things are repeatable, predictable, and that's sort of the marker of a true thesis, is that you can repeat experiments based on the math. Can't do that in the quantum realm. So that brings up opens this can of worms about the nature of reality, when you can't repeat an experiment and get the same result. So you take that metaphor to our life, you expand that to the human realm. The physicists have come up with this idea that more than one thing exists at any given time, but our brains and our bodies only seem to experience one thing. But in fact, the past, the present, and the future all exist at once. So the playwright took this idea and applied it to a relationship between two people. It's a beautiful piece.
Hard to imagine how you portray that in a play, I guess, because, you know, I'd have to see it or read it to know how you can do simultaneous realities at the same time.
Well, yeah, it's like cubism. You look at a paint, one of the ideas behind cubism was simultaneity. So the idea that you're looking at a piece from more than one angle at once and then flattening it out. It's sort of like a cubist play, where it's like a Rubik's cubist play, because there's a lot of combinations of things that happen that are similar but different. I mean, we will repeat a scene until one person says something other than they said in a previous iteration of that scene, and from that one change, something else evolves. So you'll have sort of A, B, C, D, E, Q, and then you'll go Q, R, S, T, U, V, and then you'll have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, R, and you'll go R, S, T, you know what I mean? So it's like music, you know? It's like you repeat a theme, and then one note changes, and that one note changing sends you off in a new direction.
You're blowing my mind a little bit there. I mean, it's interesting to think about. I'm wondering how much of research did you have to do to sort of grasp that theory?
A little bit, you know. I mean, I read a book called In Search of Schrodinger's Cat, which was a very clear, and I didn't even finish it, I read half of it. It's a very clear explanation of the growth of science from Newton to Einstein and beyond. And it goes from the atom to chemistry to physics. And that helped kind of peel the layers of the onion, because it's, you know, physics is, I'm not good at math. I'm like a big concept person. I'm not a calculations person, so I can't be involved in the math of it. I can only be involved in the poetry of it.
And yet it's a love story.
Oh, it's absolutely a love story, but a love story that involves what
many different options and pathways that it could go,
which is true of any given love story in the world. You know, people love each other and do bad things to each other. People love each other and leave each other. People,
I mean, who hasn't like had an argument and think, oh, I should have said this other thing that would have taken me in a different direction?
Right. And who, yes, and who hasn't fallen in love and had their heart broken, or fallen in love and not had their heart broken and stayed happy, or done, you know, I mean, you know, it reminds me of that quote from Leaves of Grass, I think, where Whitman writes, you know, that famous line, do I contradict myself? Yes, I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes. That's true of all of us. And when you put two people together, the multitude is even greater. So the chances of things happening one way or the other, you know, as there's a line in the play where Marianne says, imagine rolling a dice 6,000 times.
Well, I mean, it sounds like also that there's a bit of fun in that, too, just being able to think about these concepts in a fun way.
Absolutely fun thing where you're bouncing from reality to reality within the play, which is a delight for an actor because it's sort of athletic. You know, your imagination's getting a workout, which is fun.
That was part one of my interview with Silas Weir Mitchell, who is one of the stars of the show, the hit show Grimm, and he's now starring in Constellations by Nick Payne, which runs May 19th through June 11th at 7:30 p.m. at Portland Center Stage. All shows are at the main stage at the Armory, located at 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More info at pcs.org or 503-445-3700. And we have tickets for Constellations to offer during this membership drive edition of Stage and Studio, as well as to the musical Man of La Mancha at Portland Opera, all available for your KABU membership. Call now and support arts programming on KABU, 1-877-500-5266 or kabu.fm. Let's check in with Membership Central. Joe and Becky, are you there?
We are, and good morning, D-Man.
Boy, are we here.
Yay!
Yeah, we've been drinking all the coffee, and we're here to tell you that this arts programming on KABU is incredibly important and something that is actually pretty rare on Portland airwaves. Call 877-500-5266 because you value culture and art, and being able to hear it about beautiful local productions like Constellations is important to you. 877-500-5266. And for $120 minimum pledge, you can get a pair of tickets to this amazing production. It sounds so fun. So call 877-500-5266. That's a $10 a month donation. So easy to do. It will take only a minute to get set up. It's going to be easy online as well, kabu.fm. You can click on the donate button, but remember, put in $10 a month for that $120 pledge to get tickets to Constellations, a really incredible time to be a KABU member.
And I just want to emphasize that we're... what are we doing here?
Oh, well, we're talking about this amazing arts program.
Our program. Yes, Constellations.
Stage and Studio is an incredible...
Nick Payne. You know, actually, in fact, seriously, this station helps keep the arts in Portland alive.
Yes.
And if you're... Never mind the political stuff, never mind the music stuff, but if you're concerned with the survival of live theater... with the survival of live music, if this is stuff that you really care about, you owe it to that with which you care.
Yeah.
Owe it so much to us at KABU. And you really should make a major contribution. So, really, now, make a call and commit yourself to KBOO.
500-5266. $10 a month gets you those tickets.
Don't forget.
Calling all Grimm fans. Call us right now at 1-877-500-5266. I'm D.B. Roberts with a special one-hour membership drive edition of Stage and Studio. And thank you to those who have called in your support in the past. And if you haven't in a while and haven't before, you know, Joe is absolutely right. We do keep the arts alive in Portland. And arts are what nourish us and keep us giving hope to everyone, you know. know. So do give us a call, 1-877-500-5266, and pick up some tickets to Constellations for $120, which is a pretty good deal. It's all tax deductible. Hello. Thank you. One of the things that made Grimm such a special show was the cast. Oh, yeah. And they seem to love working with each other, but also about being in Portland. Now, I talk with Silas Weir Mitchell, who's now starring in Constellations at Portland Center Stage, a two-person story about love and science. And, he talked to me about his favorite episode to shoot on the show Grimm.
Yeah, there were a lot of factors that contributed to our tight-knitness, which we did have. We part of it was absolutely being out of L.A., being on this beautiful green island of Grimm and work, and that's just all we were doing, really. We were just buried in this thing together, and everybody was kind of in it for the right reasons. Nobody was a prima donna, and none of us is a movie star, so we were all sort of at the same level. We were just working actors who landed in this beautiful place to do a crazy show in the woods at night in the rain. And so that's sort of a galvanizing experience.
That can be very bonding, especially the Oregon rain.
Yeah. I mean, in the first couple of years, we were like, there was a lot more. They started writing out the night rain business in the third season because the crew was looking, you know, they had the 1,000-yard stare. And so the writers were like, okay, we can do some stuff on the stage this year. But I remember in the first couple of years just being out there and have these giant lights that are literally like a mile away lighting something you're doing and seeing the rain through the trees and the stage lights. It was kind of a heady time those first couple of years, to be sure.
If you were to pick one scene or one episode of Grimm that really, you know, is your most memorable for whatever reason, what would that be?
There are so many. I mean, that's really hard because there are so many, but...
For you as an actor.
Yeah, gosh, you know, I have to go back to the pilot, really. I have to go back to the scene where I meet the Grimm. And it was, I don't know, it was early on in the shooting of the pilot. It might have even been the first day, which is awful when they do that, and they put these really important scenes on, like, the first day. It's like, can't we just get something mundane out of the way, get our feet wet?
Can I just walk across?
Can I? Yeah, exactly. Can I just, like, make a cup of coffee or something and not have to, like, have the core heart scene of the... I hadn't worked in months, and I felt really rusty. And I just thought that I had blown it. I really did. I was like, well, that was fun. You know, that was a nice little 15 minutes of work. But we spent the whole day on that scene, and it wound up coming off really, really well. And I remember feeling terrified and electrified and meeting this new person who was David, and also meeting the Grimm in the story and these two things intertwining. And, you know, that was a big moment, only in retrospect, of course, because that's what we do. We live through something and then we make an image of it once we're past it and it's gone. But we have to hang on to it because it's the way the human brain works. But in retrospect, it was very, very exciting. And there's probably 12 other scenes I could say that about. But right now, in this moment, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Because there was a certain kind of magic in that.
Yeah, the magic wasn't visible to me in the moment. In the moment, I was cloaked in flop sweat and fear. But in retrospect, we were on to something.
Yep, and they were for 5 years. Silas Weir Mitchell, who's now starring in Constellations at Portland Center Stage at the Armory, will be on stage live running May 19th through June 11th at 7:30 p.m. They're in previews this week. All shows are on the main stage at the Armory, located at 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. And tickets are available at pcs.org or by calling us now at KABU at 1-877-500-5266, and we have 3 pairs of tickets available for your membership, so call now.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable fight, to dream, sorry, to dream, to roam
the brave dare not go to right the unrightable wrong.
There's so much hope in that song, The Impossible Dream. We're listening to Placido Domingo singing in the beloved musical Man of La Mancha. And that was the first musical I got to perform in college, and it's beautiful telling of Don Quixote by a fictionalized Cervantes, the writer, as he's thrown into a prison during the Spanish Inquisition. The Impossible Dream is the most famous of his songs in Man of La Mancha, which is based on Don Quixote. Portland Opera performances of this musical are at the Keller Auditorium June 9th, 11th, 15th, and 17th, and we have tickets to offer here at KBOO at 1-877-500-5266, which spells KBOO. We're going to travel now to Ashland, to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. A few seasons ago, I featured Universes, a New York-based theater group in residence at OSF, about their show Party People, which told the story of the Black Panthers. They just opened their new original production called Unison, a mixture of August Wilson's poetry, music, and movement. Here's a teaser of their interview that I did down there in Ashland with Universe's William Sapp and Mildred Ruiz Sapp.
In 1995, I saw August read poetry at an event in Pittsburgh. I was a young writer sitting there, and it was an event, a retrospective of his work. And he got up to give a speech, and he pulled out his speech, and then he put his speech away and reached into the other pocket and put out a stack of folded up paper and proceeded to read poetry for his speech. And everyone was kind of shocked and quiet, but I was sitting there going, what is that? So I've been trying to sort of track what happened to it after all these years. And we tracked it down, and here we are with Unison.
Yeah, we were working on Party People, and one of our OSF acting company actor in Party People, G. Valmont Thomas, he had a really great relationship with August and August's widow, Costanza Romero. And when we were doing Party People, Steve asked him, hey, you know, do you know anything about this poetry? And he said, absolutely, it does exist, and you know, you'd have to talk to Costanza about it. So then we reached out to her. She came and saw Party People with her daughter Azula, and they, you know, they were really taken by the project. And we started having a conversation with her about bringing August poetry and words to a new generation.
The Oregon Shakespeare Festival is going to present the world premiere, or is presenting the world premiere of Unison, and it's based on August Wilson's poetry created by the OSF Ensemble Residence Universes. It's going to be in the Angus Beaumont Theater and Beaumont Theater through October 28th. And you can find out more at osfashland.org. And right now we're offering several pairs of tickets to Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland. Becky and Joe, let's talk about those tickets. 1-877-500-5266.
We do. We have tickets for you for a minimum pledge of $120. That adds up to $10 a month, easily attained by calling 877-500-5266. Our goal for this hour is $400, and we're looking for at least four of you to call and get tickets. We have tickets everywhere.
Tickets. Too many tickets. We got to give them away. This is your chance. We're giving them away for only $100. Don't miss it.
$120 for those.
Well, it's a mere bagatelle. Don't miss the opportunity.
Well, if you've never been to Ashland, I totally recommend it. It's such a beautiful little town, and you just feel so relaxed when you get there. It's so pretty and just really pastoral, you know, and kind of just townsy, right? Yeah. And so you get to see all this like world-class theater right there in three different theaters that they have there. And they're going to have the Elizabethan open during the summer. And what an experience that is to see outdoor Shakespeare like that. And sometimes musicals too. So I recommend people, you know, checking it out. You get a tax donation, plus you support KBOO. I mean, you know, and you get to see beautiful and take a road trip to Ashland. It's all wonderful. 1-877-500-5266. And you show your support for the arts, because they are under attack right now. Have we talked about that at all?
Well, we need to, because yeah. NEA, NEH, all of these acronyms that have to do with the federal support that we have for arts and culture are indeed under attack. And so for us to have these incredible cultural institutions here in the state, like the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, like KBOO, it's something that we should cherish, that we should do our best to ensure that they continue on. And how you can do that right now is call 877-500-5266. Get in these tickets to Oregon Shakespeare Festival. I can't even begin to think of a cooler thing to do. We also have a cool thing to do where we get to thank the people that donated to us.
Yeah, I'd love to read your name.
Oh, let me do this.
Hey, go for it.
Beverly from North Portland. Shara or Shara from Beverly. Northeast Portland.
Thank you, Shara.
I know her and her partner. Deborah from Southeast Portland. Michael from Beaverton in support of the Ave and Joe Show. Oops.
Did the angel just get their wings or something?
Yeah, at least a few of them. I'm giving them all out, you know. I'm feeling very enthusiastic.
Jerome from North Portland. Susan from Placerville, California, mining town of fame.
Wow.
Susan.
Who else?
No, Jerome from North Portland. Susan from Placerville. Francine from Aix-en-Provence.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Really? Somebody from France?
Oui, c'est vrai. Miroslav from Northeast Portland.
Well, you know, I did get a Facebook question today about, you know, can I call into the membership drive if I live in California?
Absolutely.
And I said, yes, of course you can, you know, because a lot of people who, you know, are close to the border. I mean, Ashland is close to the border.
Hey,
so,
if you can call from X, you can call from anywhere.
But you can also go to Ashland pretty quickly from a lot of, you know, Northern California especially. So
call from Beijing. You know? What the hell?
Well, if you are looking to do something incredibly fun and cool, you have a twofer right here. You can get tickets to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival at $120 by calling 877-500-5266 and becoming a member of KBOO right this moment.
What's the number?
877-500-5266. We've got several pairs of these still, and we're only looking for a few of you to give us a call.
Well, you know, they usually only give one pair a year to KBOO, and they so generously donated four pairs for this membership drive. So there's four chances for people to go to Oregon Shakespeare Festival and experience the beauty, the grandeur, and the spirit of it. And it's just such a wonderful, you know, I don't know, theater vacation. If you're into that, which I am, it is so much fun.
Morris dancers, all sorts of things.
877-500-5266 right now and become a member of KBOO today.
I'm Dimae Roberts with a special one-hour membership drive edition of Stage and Studio. And I'm going to play the second part of the interview with Universe's William Sapp, Mildred Ruiz Sapp, and William Ruiz, who told me about what it's like to have August Wilson's widow, Costanza, give them a box of poetry. They're performing his play right now called Unison at Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible to have the opportunity to open a box and find the papers that he had been writing on. We found different typed pieces. We found menus from restaurants with his writing on the back of them. We knew what era he was writing these specific poems during because of a messed up E on his typewriter, which he later got fixed and then got messed up again. And we were able to track what was written when, just from the handwriting and the typing. Restaurants, the placemats where we would look at the price of a burger that was 39 cents. And then he's got a poem written on the back of that.
You're like a history detective.
Well, we wound up being that by accident. You know, we didn't know what we were stepping into, but it was quite incredible, I gotta say.
I mean, especially just seeing the handwritten stuff. I mean, that must have been an incredible experience. Yeah. So how did you go about transforming that into a play?
We each were able to select, we each had a folder, and we would dig through the box, and we would choose pieces that made us feel something or that meant something. That's kind of the thing that when Costanza opened up the box, she says, pick something that really impacts you, and you're going to be able to take that with you. And at the end of the trip, we had a 2-day trip. At the end of that trip, she allowed us to walk away with those pieces that meant the most to us. There were lots more pieces that we didn't bring with us. It was just so much material, we couldn't even read through it all in 2 days, you know? But it was definitely a marathon. And we brought those pieces with us, and then we had to start trying to read them to each other. We'd read them to ourselves, just like days and days, months and months would pass, and we'd be like, what do we have? You know, we don't know. Where do we start? One thing that did happen when we were in the room looking at the box was we found two poems. One of them was a poem about seven terrors. And it wasn't even really a poem. It's just like a little grocery list of terrors, I would say. But they would just say the first terror, and it would give the description. The second terror, the description. The third terror, to seven terrors. And so we knew that those were seven characters that we were going to, like, instantly, right? And we all chose it for our folder, which was really interesting. And we knew that that was going to be seven characters we were going to deal with. We didn't know yet that we were going to have a poet and an apprentice, but we knew we had seven terrors. In another second poem that we discovered called A Testimony of the Witness, Testimony of the Witness, there it was a story about someone leaving a box of things, items, to someone. We didn't know who that someone was, but it's a box of items. It says, do not open the box. But if you open the box, you will see that it is yourself. It would say all kinds of, and it would, so, and then when you open the box, seven individuals would come and help you rearrange everything into the place. So we were like, this is it. This is kind of the spine of, or the story we're going to tell. We don't know how we're going to do it. We don't know who these characters are, but we know that there are seven terrors and there's a box and there's a person who gives a box to someone else.
That's very theatrical.
Yes. So with just those two pieces, we were kind of launched. And then as we were going through all the poems, we would read a poem and we'd say, this sounds like it belongs to that terror, you know, and we would drop it kind of in the basket of that terror. And we would start building a collection of poems we felt spoke to that character or could be spoken from that character's perspective. And that's how we started building each of the terrors and building the poet and building the apprentice. And because we're poets, we're poet playwrights, as was August Wilson, a poet playwright, as was William Shakespeare, a poet playwright. We were like, you know what, let's really just try to investigate what the different language of different generations are. What's our language? Who were our mentors, right? So if we have a poet and apprentice, who were our mentors? And how do we kind of speak from wherever we are as poets and say, if somebody left us something, or if we left something to someone? I mean, universes, we've been in existence for 21 years already, going on 22. And, you know, we're going to have something to leave behind at the end of this journey, you know? And who is it that will receive that? Who will open it? We're leaving things, you know, with every play. So it was that conversation even with ourselves. When we pass away, what are we leaving behind? What's our legacy? And that's what the play became. It became about an individual's search for their legacy, you know, what do they leave?